Welcome to Renzo Republic. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Go ahead and do me a favor. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Follow me back. I'll follow you. And that way we'll grow our ever-expanding, liberty-loving family. For new listeners of the show, welcome back. We are in season four. And for those of you that are still kind of, you know, trying to get accustomed to the waters of where we're treading here, let me go ahead and tell you our mission. It's definitely cheesy, totally a ripoff, but we love it here. It's very simple. Make freedom fun again. We're talking about personal liberty, economic liberty, limited government, and the idea of you do you, I do me. We don't use government as a violent middleman, and we can go ahead and live peacefully. With that comes being, you know, responsible, active citizens, because when it comes, you know, when it comes to the effort for your freedom, for your ability to live life as you see it, as long as you don't hurt other people or take their stuff, it's not a spectator sport. And I wish that we could just confine, you know, kind of like zero in on the target of it just being progressives, of it just being the neoconservatives, of it just being anyone with a statist mentality. But that issue transcends just government. It transcends just local issues. When it comes to our culture, that is one of, you know, the biggest battlegrounds that I think lovers of freedom have ignored for so long. Not just the entertainment industry, not just what you see on TV, but the media. I've been kind of bitching about this for months now. And when it comes to their ability to go ahead and, you know, take out those that they hate, spotlight those that they love, I think that now we live in a day and age where I think the overall consensus is that we just can't trust them. They can go ahead and take a good person and they can go ahead and just viciously destroy them. They can go ahead and take someone like Al Franken, who's an actual pervert, and they can try and make him look like he's the reincarnation of Mother Teresa. When it comes to the character assassination from the media, unless you're incredibly wealthy and super connected, even then, if they don't like you, they can go ahead and make your life a living hell. Just look at how they treat our president on a daily basis. But sometimes they can go ahead and create their worst nightmares. Sometimes when they go ahead and try and strike down people that have, you know, a genuine view that goes against their fixed status narrative, what they can do is they can go ahead and inspire a whole movement of people to say, you know what, enough is enough. I have to get involved in this. I need to go ahead and fight back. And if you know me, you know I'm a fan of the folks over at Cernovich Media that are just, like, each time I see them go ahead and expose a story, each time I see them go ahead and do something, it is absolutely, like, freaking awesome and hilarious all at the same time. It's like I'm Billy Madison. For those of you that remember that movie, I'm Billy Madison in the kitchen watching the other dude set on fire, and I'm just laughing and clapping. Just absolutely love it. And the bro over there that's making it happen is the one and only Andrew Meyer. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be here, brother.
So for those that think your name rings a bell, you were on the live show a couple months ago, had some great fan reaction from that. When it comes to the tale of Don't Tase Me, Bro, that is, you know, probably one of the moments in your life where you were just like, who the hell are these people? Why are they doing this to me? And how can they just openly lie? Can you go ahead and, you know, kind of give us a quick backstory on what happened and how it kind of pushed you on the course that you're on now?
Sure. So real quick, actually, a journalist just recently asked me about this issue. He wanted to know, you know, how has it affected your life? How has this really been a big thing? Has it charted the whole course of your life? People are trying to ask me big time questions, but I don't usually give out my whole answers. I don't tell everybody everything because they're not coming from a genuine place. Like you were talking about in your intro, there's a lot of fake news out there, and if you give people the genuine answers unguarded, they're going to spin it in a way to try and hurt you. So I have no problem giving you the real story, the down low on this show right now, because I know you're coming from a real place, brother.
I appreciate it. So years back, I think I may have been in middle school when this happened. I remember watching CNN, and all I see on the headline is guy gets tased at John Kerry's speech. And I think I made Don't Tase Me, Bro probably my ringtone at the time because I thought it was funny. And that was just it. You were, you know, you were the original viral meme before memes and cat videos and the fat dude swinging the lightsaber on YouTube became a thing. And it wasn't until probably about a year ago that I came across some of the work you were doing. And I was like, wait a second. Are you telling me that they edited the question? Wait. You're telling me he wasn't being belligerent or anything? So the fact that now you're coming back and you're just completely, you know, you're talking to actual people that, you know, CNN will never give a fair shake to. You're covering stories that no one on even the right-leaning places like Fox will talk about. It seems that now, you know, you're coming back with kind of a vengeance. What about that moment? What about, you know, what you can tell us made you think, okay, now I just need to go into overdrive with this?
So let me break it down real quick. Back in the day, John Kerry, he was telling people he was against the war in Afghanistan, against the war in Iraq. I was against the war in Afghanistan. I was against the war in Iraq. And I voted for the guy. I didn't know. I wasn't super into politics. All I knew was the guy was promising to end the wars, which I really didn't like. Come to find out, he was a fraud. And then he's coming to speak to my college campus. I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely floored that he's coming there. This is 2007, 3 years after he conceded an election that he said he was going to basically fight to the death, you know, bring in his army of lawyers to fight. There was election fraud then, as there's accusations of election fraud now. Although the election fraud now, the real election fraud now, I don't know if people know this, the Department of Homeland Security actually hacked in to Georgia election servers. Nobody wants to talk about that, but Obama's DHS was hacking into Georgia election servers. And there's other instances of election fraud just now in the 2016 election. Yeah, the real election fraud, they want to pretend it was Russian collusion. Oh, no. The Democrats were doing all kinds of election fraud, voter fraud. That's the real story that they don't want to talk about. But back in the day, 2004, there was actual vote rigging, election fraud in favor of George W. Bush. John Kerry knew this ahead of time because they had done the same thing in 2000 and they hadn't changed any of the electronic voting machines. They knew the same things could be done. There was actually a county where votes were counted backwards in Florida. I asked John Kerry about that. And when I asked him these, I had serious questions why he conceded an election because I wanted him to end the wars. So I asked him why he conceded the election. And if everyone's seen the viral scene, Don't Tase Me, Bro, the famous video, you know, it went crazy after that. The police were dragging me out of there. The police officially said in their statement they took me out because they didn't like the questions I was asking them. They actually said that. But the media at the time, they tried to say that it was a practical joke. That literally the first words of the Associated Press article about me, and this was major headline news. This was all over the country. This was international news. This is on CNN, ABC, everywhere. Okay, and the first words of the Associated Press story, they said, "A well-known prankster." A well-known prankster. All I was known for on the University of Florida campus was for my writing. I was a well-known columnist. I wrote about politics. I wrote about society. I wrote about all kinds of crazy stuff. I was known as a writer. I was very popular for that. And then they tried to say I was a prankster. That's original fake news right there. And so that happened to me. I'm watching this in real time. I'm seeing, you know, John Stewart call my serious questions to John Kerry student douchebaggery. That's what John Stewart had to say about it. And we know now that, you know, he was caught conspiring at the Obama White House to ask, you know, puff questions to Obama when he comes on the show. The guy was a total shill, but at the time, everyone thought he was a legitimate guy asking the real questions, and that was about as legit as you got on TV back then. So it was a whole shocking thing for me, and I had very little faith in the media then. But to be at the center of a storm like that, it was absolutely nuts.
So the night that happened, you're back home. You're laying down and you're just processing everything that was happening. What was going through your mind in that moment? Were you overwhelmed? Were you worried? Were you stressed out? Were you excited for some of the attention you could get? I mean, what was going through your mind in that moment?
Well, the night after it happened, I didn't get to have thoughts like that because I was in jail. All right. They took me to jail for asking these questions. Damn. And they tried to say that, you know, he was starting a riot. Literally the first thing that they could come up with to arrest me is he was starting a riot. And don't get me wrong, I support the police. But as President Trump said when he was on the campaign trail, there's some officers out there that choke, okay? And not everybody that's an officer should be on the force. So a couple of the guys that arrested me, you know, they had to come up with something real quick for a legitimate reason to have arrested me. So they came up with inciting a riot is what they initially said, and they changed that because it was ridiculous. But I was in the jail there, Alachua County Jail, and I was literally just praying. I was asking the universe, I want people to see this story. I want people to know what's going on in this country. You try and ask a question, you try and ask real questions, and this is what happens. And I guess God heard my prayers because you saw what happened next.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the world is in the same place now, just looking around. But what was the initial reaction you got from, you know, friends and family? Were they like, you shouldn't have asked it? You should have, you know, maybe you should have doubled down or something. How are they reacting?
I'm very blessed. I have an amazing group of friends and amazing family. My parents were fully in support of me. My parents even went on the Today Show with me and told Matt Lauer, who we now know, you know, is kind of a sick guy. My parents told him straight to his face that, you know, maybe I had the guts to ask Senator Kerry the questions that nobody else was willing to ask. So my parents had my back. My friends had my back. And actually the media, funny story, the media was trying – they were contacting like everybody that I was even friends with on Facebook. And they were trying to get them to say, you know, nasty stuff about me. So the media is just a real – they're a real trip. You gotta watch your back around these people.
Did that whole situation, you know, did it kind of set you firm in your convictions to continue your career as a journalist, or were you hesitant to kind of get back into things because of, you know, now you're an internet sensation? When people, you know, hear Andrew Meyer, for those that actually did know your name, they won't think journalist and columnist; they'll think writer and prankster.
I disagree. I think my work with Cernovich Media is just beginning, and you're starting to see Cernovich Media is going straight to the top. Mike Cernovich, I would say, at the very least, one of the top five journalists in America. I would put him a bit higher than that. I don't want to say how high.
We can both agree that he should probably get the Pulitzer by now.
I mean, just the Susan Rice story alone, unmasking the Obama administration's blatant spying on the Trump administration for no legitimate purpose. I mean, if we had somebody different heading the Department of Justice right now, you might see Susan Rice and maybe someone higher than her facing a real investigation right now, thanks to Cernovich's journalism. But you know. We have a lot of people in the federal government right now that don't necessarily have President Trump's back.
You think? It's so crazy, though. And, you know, I was looking back at, you know, some of the big stories from 2007 when that happened. And I realized that around the time that the situation of you happened, the whole Duke Lacrosse case was coming out. And everyone had already come out with their pitchforks for Duke Lacrosse. And when you look at, you know, just even like a year and a half ago with the whole Susan Rice situation that Cernovich uncovered, as soon as that starts to get headway and even Sean Hannity is talking about it on his radio show, what do you have? You have everyone talking about Russiagate, the whole, you know, Trump-Russia fantasy that they were pushing. And then next thing you know, they're talking about the Don Jr. emails and everything. So it just seems like you know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I'll go ahead and say it now. It seems that whenever they go ahead and they find something that can actually threaten them, they go ahead and cover it up with not necessarily a lesser story, but something that just, you know, it pushes their narrative. It creates more of a distraction. It's, I don't know. Are there people within these networks that say, okay, I want to cover this story of something else, or is that just a hunch?
Because, there's an actual scandal that came out a few years back. You can look this up. Journolist, not journalist, Journolist, N-O. And actually, there's a bunch of left-wing – I mean, they're mainstream media. But the mainstream media is almost entirely left-wing. And so they had a list – they had like a private list of people, and they were talking in their private chat about basically fake news that they all planned to push – in collusion with one another. So you want to talk collusion. I mean, these people, you're asking, oh, is it a conspiracy theory? No, it's admitted. I mean, there's many countless examples of the left-wing mainstream media pushing all kinds of fake news in concert with one another. You know they're all sitting there in the White House press room, and they're all asking the same question, one after the other after the other. Why are they asking the same question? Because they're trying to meme a narrative into reality. If they just keep asking their retarded question 1,000 times in a row, now it's the news of the day. Look, I mean, we all ask this question 1,000 times. It must be important.
It's ridiculous. And you just brought up something which is so absolutely true. When Cernovich was in D.C. and he went to go see Sean Spicer during a White House press briefing, he's periscoping the entire thing. And you see all these other journalists from The Washington Post, from NBC, ABC, they're all asking, OK, what are you going to ask? OK, what order do you want to go? And he's just standing there like, are you watching this? Like, this is actually happening right now. It's people. You know, I was being a bit facetious earlier with, you know, does it sound like a conspiracy? But this stuff is proven. This stuff is fact. This stuff is actually happening. And, whether or not we choose to ignore it or not, it's the reality of the situation. And, you know, we're definitely going to cover this topic a little bit more. But first, we've got to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Folks, before I go, we're living in the cryptocurrency revolution. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, you know, we have to start trusting this decentralized currency because it's not at the beck and call of the bankers that, you know, control our fiat currency. The money in your wallet today will not be worth the same thing it is tomorrow or the day after that. It's not even where it was a year ago. So go ahead and join the cryptocurrency revolution by joining Helium. Go ahead and go to remsorepublic.com/sponsor. Go ahead and click on the image that says join Helium. That's join Helium at remsorepublic.com/sponsor. We'll be right back after this. Hang on tight.
Donate with Bitcoin today at remsorepublic.com/donate.
Join the Remso Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rimza Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and I am a libertarian. I invite you to join me in spreading the message of liberty. Come down to alexmerced.com where you can find videos and lots of other media to help educate you about liberty and more. I've also created LearnEconomicsNow.com as a quick way to show anyone the basics about economics. Libertarian101.com, a great starting place to learn what is libertarianism, how to get involved, and how to move things forward. IntroToLiberty.com, where you can learn more about how to spread the message of liberty through positive messaging from people like myself, Larry Sharp, and Michael Pickens. And don't forget libertarianpodcast.com, where you can find an exhaustive list of libertarian podcasts for you to enjoy. This is Alex Merced. Follow me on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and more. And thank you very much.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We're going to go ahead and continue our conversation from earlier with Andrew Meyer from Cernovich Media. Andrew, the thing about Cernovich Media that's just completely blowing my mind is I read Guerrilla Mindset about a year ago before Cernovich started going on InfoWars and everything else, and reading this book, it's, you know, I put it between Ayn Rand's Fountainhead and some of the other books that I think, you know, they make up the pillars of the mindset I have for how I go about and, you know, live my life every day. And I remember reading that. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to go ahead and do something, because if he just sticks to being, you know, the mindset guru, you know, that'll be nice, but he's got to go out and do something amazing. And, you know, in the past couple months, you guys put out a video recently talking about Cernovich Media's massive success. You guys have broken some of the most insane stories. You guys have had some of the funniest viral videos and memes online. What do you think it is about Cernovich Media that's unique? You know, even when you compare yourselves to others on the right, such as, I don't know, maybe the Daily Wire, InfoWars, The Blaze. And why do you think it's resonating with so many different people? Not just people on the right, but people that, you know, they're getting red-pilled. They're the independents. They're those, you know, maybe left-leaning centrists that are like, you know, I'm not totally partisan. I like to have fun and I want to know the truth.
Well, I think Cernovich Media is special for a few reasons. I think primarily it's because everybody on the team, we're not doing this for money, for fame. We're doing this because it must be done to preserve the United States of America, freedom, liberty, everything good in the world. This must be done. The mainstream media is a complete cancer that's been infecting every sector of public life. They've been destroying every area you can think of. You think of a certain industry, the mainstream media has done terrible things to that industry because of the lies that they tell. And so it's completely necessary that somebody's out there fighting for the truth. That's why Cernovich Media is dominating. We fight for the truth. And I'm a fighter. Cernovich is a fighter. Everybody on that team is a true fighter. That's why we're inspiring people and getting the message out there in a way that very few others are.
How'd you get involved with them? Because, you know, you were the editor-in-chief and founder of We Are Change. You could have done your own thing, possibly. You could have started your own brand. How did you meet Cernovich, and how did this whole idea kind of come together into what it is today?
Well, I wasn't the founder of We Are Change. I was the editor-in-chief.
My bad.
Back during the election. During the election, actually, We Are Change, when I was there, we pushed some stories that helped, in my opinion. Actually, I know from the analytics that we saw, it made a big shift in people's mindsets. One of the stories we did, we really drove home the WikiLeaks leaked emails from John Podesta, showing all the sick and depraved stuff of them talking about children, talking about spirit cooking. We got that story out there so hard. Hannity used our story as the source material for a story that his website did. Okay, this was written by Cassandra Fairbanks. It was the source material, our story, for a Hannity story, and Drudge had that as the main headline. Okay, we got our stories to the front page, the main story on Drudge, and we really had a big impact. And when I was at We Are Change, people were seeing the work that I was doing. You know, when you're in this online world, Facebook, Twitter, you're drawing attention for the things that you're doing. Even if you don't necessarily see the likes or the shares or the clicks, if you're out there in the world and you're pushing, you're going to draw people with the same vibration as you. You're going to draw people with the same energy. And so eventually, when Cernovich was starting his team, the people over there saw what I was doing, and I was brought on board. I mean, like-minded people are going to find each other if you keep pushing hard enough.
One important thing you brought up was, you know, this ability that social media provides us, the ability to find like-minded people and to turn little things into big movements. And as I've been trying to figure out how to do things on my own team, so to speak, one thing that really worries me is this idea of something that this one author brought up called social sharecropping. And I've been hit with censorship on Twitter, on Facebook. I've had to expand over to minds.com and other places, and I'm trying to grow my email list. And I, you know, I'm no one large in the grand scheme, but it really does scare the living shit out of me when it's like in an instant I could disappear overnight. And I know from talking to you that you guys have also been hit by Zuckerberg and the others. Are you afraid that if you guys really start to not just, you know, scratch at the surface, but continue to penetrate the barriers as you guys have, that you'll be removed from social media? And if that happens, do you guys have a backup plan?
Well, we've already been hit about as hard as they can possibly hit us. YouTube, for example, instead of getting new users, which we had an excellent rate of gaining new users, they just what they did is basically blacklist our videos, make it so it doesn't show up in people's windows so that we wouldn't get any more subscribers. I mean, they're already hitting us on Facebook, YouTube. They've throttled me. They're actually – I don't even have the biggest Twitter account, and they're already removing my Twitter users. They're throttling us back as much as they can. But what they're doing is not going to work. Number one, because we are all fighters. This team, if they tried to blacklist all of us from social media, we would be out in the streets in their faces, cameras at YouTube campuses, Google campuses, Twitter campuses. We would get these people in real life and make bigger stories. The more they try and strike us down, the bigger and stronger we're going to become. So they think they're going to bring the fight to us with their techno games. It's just going to make it even worse for them. I don't see any win for them at this point. They're trying to censor. They're trying so very hard to censor. But what they don't understand is it's past the point of no return. This populist movement, this populist wave is going all the way to the finish line. Trump is going to get reelected. And there's a few people that are really pushing in the background to make things happen. And that includes Mike Cernovich, our team, and a few others. And the more we show that we're the real Make America Great Again base and movement, people are coming to us and they're looking to us to where are they going to find their news? Where are they going to find their messages and leadership? They're not getting it on the mainstream media. They're not even getting it from Fox News a lot of times. Where are they turning to? They're turning to us. If they try and strike us down, we will become even bigger. We're going to slaughter these fools, metaphorically, not making any not making Antifa alt-left, you know, terroristic threats like they do. I'm talking in metaphor and in the battleground of ideas.
Totally, totally. So, Andrew, I've got to let you go in a minute, but this is a great time to be alive for this type of stuff. But this, as we've discussed, is, you know, there are new challenges every day. Are you optimistic for the future of citizen journalism, guerrilla journalism, or do you think the fight's just really getting started?
This is only the start. I am thrilled that I'm at this point in history right now. We look at this as just the ground floor of a startup. People have lost faith in the dinosaur media. Look at their approval rate. It's at like, what, 6%? So if people aren't going to turn to these fools anymore, where are they going to turn? Oh, they're going to turn to people that are telling them the truth. They're going to find us. They already are. And once we're showing them year after year after year, here's the real news. And then, oh, wow, that story came from Cernovich Media. That story came from Cernovich. Year after year, they're going to realize, wow, if I want the real news, if I want it unfiltered, I got to go to Cernovich Media. I got to go to real independent outlets. I can't rely on these blogs that are owned by Jeff Bezos and Carlos Slim and Wall Street and Goldman Sachs. They're not going to turn to these same corporate liars anymore. They're going to turn to us.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, gotta let you go. If people want to catch everything you do, follow you on social media and all that jazz, how could they do so?
The first thing I want to plug, you got to go to my Patreon. I honestly was fighting the idea of a Patreon. I don't want to e-beg, but I'm not e-begging. If you go to my Patreon, patreon.com/TheAndrewMeyer, I'm just putting some content on there. It's pretty basic right now, but the purpose of it, I'm crowdfunding for my book, Don't Tase Me, Bro, Real Questions, Fake News, and My Life is a Meme. The book is all ready to go, just about ready to publish. All I want is a few shekels for Ben Garrison, the world's greatest political cartoonist, to draw the cover of my book. I already have it priced out from him. I want to get the greatest cover for my book, which is an incredible book. I truly can't say enough about the book that I'm not saying this because I wrote it. Okay. I would say the same for Gorilla Mindset because of how good it is. But my book, seriously, it's going to wake people up. People that are already deep into this game, they're already red-pilled, they're going to see things that they haven't seen before, a different level when you have such an experience. And I've written this book directly from my experience, and it's such a page-turner. It's incredible. And for people that don't know very much, again, this book is very exciting. It's a thrilling page-turner. You give it to a friend of yours, even if he's a liberal. You say, look, check out this story. You remember this meme? Check out his book. You know, they might think it's funny, but they're going to read the book. It's very engrossing, and they're going to learn something. So check out the Patreon, patreon.com/TheAndrewMeyer. You can find me at Twitter at the same spot, twitter.com/TheAndrewMeyer. And always check out Cernovich Media, facebook.com/MikeCernovich and Cernovich.com.
Andrew, do me a favor. I'll go ahead, send me the link to your Patreon account. We'll go ahead and include it in the show notes. And I'm excited. Like, folks, I don't read a lot these days. I've been tuning into a lot of audiobooks and stuff, but you've got my word. I'm getting a physical copy of that book. I am so excited, dude.
I really appreciate that. And I predict you will get more than one copy because you're going to love it and you're going to want to share it with other people. That's the purpose that I'm writing this, is for people to really want to share this, because the book itself is going to wake up so many people that in other ways probably would never get woken up. This book is exciting and it's fun to read. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Awesome stuff. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to today's program. Go ahead and do me a favor. Help the movement grow. Help us reach. I mean, last season we were number 25 in news and politics on iTunes top charts for North America. We want to go ahead and hit that mark and go further. We beat the NPR lineup, MSNBC. I don't know why people are still listening to Chris Matthews audio, but come on, help the movement, give us a 5-star rating and review, and as always, share the show with a friend. Go ahead and find me at Remso W. Martinez on Minds.com and Facebook, and as always, be good to your neighbor, go out and treat yourself, and be good, America. I'm Remso W. Martinez with the Remso Republic. Good night.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
Hey, this is Lloyd Bailey, the Armed Lutheran, host of the Armed Lutheran Radio Podcast, reminding you that the podcast you're listening to is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the great content at selfdefenseradio.net.